This is Wine, Women, and Revolution with your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. Hi, and welcome to Wine, Women, and Revolution. I'm your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. You can find us online at www.njrevolutionradio.com. You can find us on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, iHeartRadio, pretty much everywhere. We're still working on iTunes, but hopefully we'll have that within the next week or so. Today, I am doing an interview here in my studio, and I want to do a full disclaimer. This is not an unbiased interview. I'm going to be interviewing a candidate that I'm actually volunteering as campaign manager for down here in Congressional District 2, Dr. Stephen Fenichel. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Heather.
It's great to have you here today. You reached out to me through a mutual friend, and I absolutely, knowing what's going on here in CD2, those of you who listened to What the Fuck's Going On in Trenton last week, you know, that Brian and Pat discussed the crazy bag of people running for office down here. You know, we've got Van Drew, who, for lack of a better description, is a Republican with a D after his name. And then we've got Seth Grossman, who is a white nationalist. So there weren't really a lot of options in the Congressional District 2 race. So that's why part of why you decided to jump in. And first, just this morning, you sent me some exciting news for the campaign that you got an endorsement from New Jersey weed man, Mr. Edward Forcione. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, yes. Rob Fortune, the name Rob is something that he asks for family members to call him and close friends. So I was honored when he said, "My name is Rob" to you anymore. And so anyway, Rob was first arrested in 1997 for marijuana. And because I had written many letters to the editor, and I also had a face-off in the press of Atlantic City with a full page going toe-to-toe with Jeffrey Blitz, who was the Atlanta County prosecutor at the time, who felt strongly that we must prosecute aggressively marijuana, and me saying, no, we must control, regulate, and tax marijuana, and not persecute people for what they choose to change their consciousness. So I believe that was what he saw in the press of Atlantic City. And he called me. He found my number and called me out of the clear blue and said, "Doc, you don't know me, but I'm facing 20 years in prison for my medicine. And I have been reading your letters and editorials, and I think that maybe you would consider reviewing my records, my medical records, to decide for yourself whether you feel I'm a legitimate marijuana user or not. And if you did feel that I was, whether you might consider to be a medical expert in my trial, which will be coming up." And the next day, I agreed that I would review his records. The next day, he arrived at my doorstep with two major big boxes of documents. And he said, "I hope you get a chance." I said, "I will. I'll look it all over." And it was very quickly that I saw that there couldn't be a more legitimate user of medical marijuana than Rob Fortune. So I said, "I'll do anything I can to help you, including, if need be by your side in the courtroom." So that first court situation, he actually didn't need me, but I became very involved with helping to provide some support for his family. The big thing at that time was just keeping his spirits up by taking a phone call from him nearly every day, and boy, do they rip off prisoners with the cost of phone calls. But I was never going to deny a call from this very, very courageous young man. So he basically handled that situation. There were a lot of strange twists and turns, but that was behind him soon enough. But then it wasn't long later, in 2012 or so, he was arrested again for marijuana. And this time I was able to be in his trial as an expert witness. And he taught me so much. He taught me the most important concept in American law is the right of a juror to decide whether a law is a good law or a bad law. And if they find that it is a bad law, they have the right and obligation to nullify the verdict, which in plain language means to acquit, to find the defendant not guilty of a bad law.
Which was something that was done a lot during Prohibition as well.
It was.
That was a large part of how...
It ended Prohibition. My grandfather was actually... he ran alcohol during Prohibition, and he was arrested. He went on trial, and the family lore is that he had an incredible trial experience and was acquitted of charges. And it was people like my grandfather that made it clear to prosecutors they wouldn't get a conviction. So they had to stop this insane prohibition of alcohol. But anyhow, Rob Fortune, to me, is one of the great American heroes and patriots. And it's such a privilege to consider him one of my closest friends. So.
And his endorsement, you know, it's posted now on Facebook, on the website. It's
yes.
really very kind words
yes.
from him. And
it's a blessing.
If you guys didn't get a chance to check it out yet, my partner Brian also did interview him probably a few weeks back now, right when he was just released out of prison. And his main thing was support your local weed man. Don't support the Caucasian cannabis corporations. You know, get your card as a get out of jail free card. But, you know, it's people like him that have been on the streets doing the groundwork for these kinds of things for years. And now these corporations just want to swoop in and make money off of it.
Yeah. And the government is preventing people with a record of arrest from being involved. And it's just insanity how the one who brought the legalization question and the medical marijuana question so far in New Jersey is denied any sort of return for all of his sweat and blood equity he put into the process.
Right, he's spent years on this,
oh,
and
God.
Now being shut out of the process that he was one of the main advocates for. It's
nationally
very disheartening.
And internationally, he's well respected throughout the country and the world for what he's done.
So that's great when we're picking up endorsements from real people that are out there, real
yeah.
activists that are on the street. Whereas, you know, the Democratic county commissioners are never going to endorse you. But it's the real people and the real
yeah.
activists and those who are disenfranchised that if we can get their endorsements, that's who we
yeah.
really need in this country.
And more importantly, for people that feel very disillusioned by the process or those young people who might like to smoke marijuana but haven't taken the time or energy to register to vote, I think that, you know, really it's there's a possibility if you have a candidate who synchronous with what you hold to be important issues. So, yeah, please don't become so jaded and cynical that you put the power into the hands of people that are against your very interest and your well-being.
Well, I think that's a great lead into the next question I wanted to ask you of why you decided to run here for Congress in CD2. What was your decision-making process that made you decide, I'm going to do this?
Well, my decision-making was really based on having a front row seat into how corrupt the democratic process was. I have a friend named Jeffrey Sutherland, who was the Democratic Cape May County chairman. And he appealed to me to please become a committee person because your thoughts and feelings could help shape the new Democratic Party that we wish to create in Cape May County. And I thought, well, I really trust Jeff, and I've nothing to lose, and I will allow my name to be listed as a committee member. So then my friend Sutherland, Jeff Sutherland, was chosen by Van Drew to become the Cape May County prosecutor, so that he was forced to resign from his chairmanship of the Democratic Committee. And in his place, there was going to be a new person selected. Well, I attended that first meeting in which the selection of someone named Brendan Sciarra was made. And I couldn't believe how, when he had the votes, it was very engineered. And the first thing he did was endorse Jeff Van Drew to be the Democratic candidate, despite the fact that there were four other candidates who wished to have their views be given an opportunity for an airing. And it was really a done deal. It became very obvious. And then someone that I am very connected to, named Georgina Shanley, was able to go up to the endorsed candidate, Van Drew, and she said, "I hope that you do not win the election." And he asked, "Why do you say that?" And she's speaking from the heart and being involved with meetings with him to try to convince him to not put pipelines through our pristine, beautiful pine lands. She said from her experiences with him, "Because, Mr. Van Drew, you have no integrity." And he said, "Why do you say that?" And then he said, "You're attacking me personally," seeing, she felt, out of the corner of his eye, a group of good people. And he said, "You have to give me a chance to speak. I let you talk. Now it's my turn to talk." At which time, some good progressive people had gathered around and started buying into that show of indignity by saying, "Georgina, give him an opportunity. That's not fair that you're not allowing him a chance." And it was just, this is the man. It was just so confirmatory. And plus the fact that my campaign manager did an incredible job in revealing his voting record. Of course, I got that from her after I had already committed to being a candidate. I decided to become a candidate about 2 or 3 days before the deadline for turning in the prerequisite signatures to be on the ballot in November. I did that because I couldn't find another person who would be willing to go forward. I promised a lot of young people that if they did this, I would work hard to get their names on the ballot by collecting the 100-plus signatures necessary, but no one was taken, so I went out, and now my name is on the ballot. And since that time, I mean, some of the things that I see in his voting record, again, getting back to Heather's great work at culling some of them, were just absolutely outrageous. Number one, maybe, is protecting the president from having to require presidential candidates to disclose their tax returns.
And he was a no vote to that.
And he was a no vote to that. And it's absolutely incredible. I mean, he is someone who obviously tries to triangulate in a very slick and Machiavellian way to be the love child of conservative Democrats, Republicans, you name it. His soul is, I feel, it's not consistent, and I believe it's for sale. He also upset me very much by the eliminating the death penalty vote, where he voted against that. He voted against an increased minimum wage. I mean, these are very
important. He voted against same-sex marriage not once, but twice.
It's just amazing. He voted yes for charter schools, which is a way that basically entrepreneurs can get their grubby little hands on the public monies that are supposed to be used for educating all our children. He also voted no in limitations on the number of handguns someone could purchase. And what drew me to working hard to protect the pine lands, and that was to stop the pipelines with frack gas from Marcellus Shales, he did not vote with a vote for requiring an increased use of renewable energy. I just don't know what planet this lad lives on. And so between Seth Grossman and
who Jeff, said some horrible things that diversity is un-American.
I know, but you know, he does get points with me for at least you know where you stand with someone like Grossman. You know, to me, it's a choice between Trump light and Trump heavy, and I can't honestly say which is which between Grossman and Van Drew.
So people that will try to convince people to vote Democrat, blue no matter who, often will say something to the effect of, well, we need to make sure we get Democrats in there to hold Trump accountable.
Yes.
Right.
Like and his tax returns.
Whereas, you know, I don't think Van Drew has ever gone on record saying whether he would be a yes, no, or no vote at all if he were in the position to vote on impeaching Trump. Right.
Well, that would be in the Senate anyway.
Right.
But I think that it's important to ask your candidates, would you put pressure on your Senate colleagues to begin the long overdue process of starting an impeachment hearing on President Trump? I mean, you know, and you see it at the highest levels of the National Democrats. You find the same response to people like Pelosi and Schumer with regards to the protections of Mueller, not seen anywhere, or the beginning of an impeachment process. And for the bottom line is, these are definitely not Bernie Sanders Democrats. These are Democrats that really, I believe, chose Van Drew to be the candidate rather than someone like Tansy Youngblood, who they interviewed. And she was told after the interview she was a very personable, likable candidate, but she was an anemic campaign fundraiser. Jeff Van Drew has over $600,000 in his campaign war chest. And if this is where he starts for his first run for Congress, well, beware, folks, but he's going to be millions of dollars if he wins this first one and then proceeds like the previous two congressional candidates that occupied this seat. I mean, more elections for that seat in Congress. It's just like jingling, jingling, jingling. And it's disgusting. It's something not to be proud of. The Democrats should be ashamed of what they're doing. Because really and truly, you can only get these candidates that take this money to be the servants of the special interest. And it screwed the public interest completely. And Bernie Sanders knew that well with his requirement of only small individual campaign contributions.
And you'll only be accepting small individual campaign contributions. You can guarantee that you'll take no corporate money, correct?
Sure, sure. And, you know, maybe Van Drew feels that he can, you know, take the big corporate money and still, you know, serve the public interest. But, you know, look at the pipeline through the Pinelands and look at him following the directive of George Norcross from, you know, Camden County, the party boss, who has investments in the Marcellus Shales and wanted this frack gas to be piped through the Pinelands. I mean, you know, we're not stupid.
they always say, follow the money and you'll see. And
exactly.
Which ties well into your platform, that you have a number of platform issues that you've posted about. And one of them is that clean money, that dark money or even just corporate money has destroyed our democracy.
Totally. And it can't get to what I really, really feel passionate about. And that's single payer or Medicare for all. Because how can you get there if all the people in the Congress and the Senate got there with major contributions from the insurance companies, the pharmaceutical companies, the hospitals for profit, and the AMA, the American Medical Association? You know, it can't happen. But clean money campaign finance reform, that's the key to it all. And I understand it very well, thanks to my working with Paul Seamus Ryan, who I just saw. There's a great film called Dark Money, and Paul Ryan has a short appearance in it. But he was someone who came from California when we were looking for someone to help us design an ordinance for Ocean City, New Jersey, to have clean money campaign finance reform. And he was incredible. And simply put, anyone who was running for mayor would need 300 people giving them $5 each. That money could be kept and they would qualify for additional money, but each of those 300 contributors had to be documented, name, where they lived, etc. To run for council at large was 150 such contributions of $5. And for the city council seats, it would be 100 such contributions. Then we would further fund them with tax money to be competitive. But the most important thing, and what really pissed off the other candidates that weren't inclined to participate, was we also wanted on the ballot to show who were the clean money candidates by the statement next to their name, clean money candidate. That scared the living daylights out of anyone that wouldn't agree.
Oh, I can imagine, because then they'd be called out.
And that's the model that we need nationally. As someone, if somehow I was elected to Congress, I would work extremely passionately for a full funding of clean money campaign finance reform for all national elections. Next to the name of any such qualifying candidate would be the same clean money candidate. The details could be worked out. How much for someone running for Congress? How much for someone running for Senate? How much for the president? You know, those are just small little things that can easily be worked out. But with that kind of arrangement, I feel that the people's interest would be served.
As opposed to the corporate interest, which is all being served currently.
And I must say, too, that, you know, I like the idea. And in Ocean City, there was no union or corporate donations acceptable, even small amounts, to qualify as clean. And fighting against this pipeline through the Pinelands, you know, we did see a very corrupted pipe fitters union as one of them. I mean, these workers would come to all of our meetings at the Pinelands Commission with just a order by their union bosses, and they would say no, no to renewable energy. And it was really, really terrible. And basically, we know that they were first called by people like Norcross. And Norcross, you know, we're sure, given lots of money to the unions that he has such control of, to give a cover as far as these being the idealistic unions that we, in our dreams and the legends of what America was at one stage, these are not honest unions. There are honest unions, but I think the simplest approach is to outlaw contributions from all but the individuals to an agreed upon small limit.
Yeah, I think a lot of unions, it's become much more of a top-down than a bottom-up.
Exactly.
Really, your union's what you make of it. So
exactly.
If you're not involved in your union and you're not going into meetings, then the orders are coming down from the top, from people like Norcross.
Yeah.
Whereas when you've got an active, vibrant union, and your members are the ones in charge.
And this rank and file were not interested in the fact that their livelihoods would be greatly enhanced in developing renewable sources of energy than in the very temporary and ephemeral job of laying pipelines through the pineland. There's no future in that. But building windmills, building solar panels, this was what New Jersey had a real head start as far as the rest of the nation was before Christie really did all he could to destroy those renewable energy jobs. But we should be able to get them back and to revive them.
Oh, we should be leading the way on offshore wind.
Oh, exactly.
Which we were supposed to be by now. We should have had the one off of Atlantic City up by now.
I know.
And there's so many opportunities for things like that where you could benefit local communities, make sure that X percentage of the work done is from people in those communities like Atlantic City.
And these people don't seem to realize that we're in the midst of a climate catastrophe. And it's not like we have unlimited time for changing our addiction to fossil fuels.
Yeah, some estimates say we have as few as 5 years, maybe 10 years. And if we don't get rid of fossil fuels, then we are not going to be avoiding climate catastrophe.
And this is just how suicidal things are for societies when money trumps all. And trumps was a word that seems to be a double entendre, very appropriate in this issue. Especially after Scott Pruitt was his appointee to the EPA. And God knows who will be coming in to replace Scott Pruitt. They don't respect the earth. They don't respect differences in people. And we really have to show that, you know, at least in our state or where we can, we will show that we do respect the needs of humanity as well as the earth.
We don't have to settle in New Jersey. We can vote for what we want. We can vote for our values.
We can.
We don't have to buy into this corporate mentality.
It's a challenge.
I always say, the future's ours to create.
I know. I saw all of these wonderful progressive people, but as soon as Vandrew got the nomination, the chains of partisan politics really, really trumped any principles or ideals of so many good people. And it's absolutely crazy, you know? I mean, if you have a candidate who shares your values, you know, it seems in America, there's never a proper time for voting your conscience and your principles. It's always urgent that you vote for the evil of two lessers or the lesser of two evils. And that's really wacky-doo, as far as I can tell.
And since the GOP has withdrawn their support of Grossman, as far as I see it, there's two dogs in this race. We have you as the progressive and the Republican of Vandrew. And Grossman being the wackadoo.
I wouldn't be at all surprised if that withdrawal nationally of supporting Grossman will not be something that's a benefit for Grossman. I mean, it's real.
He'll solidify his white nationalist base.
I mean, when you saw all the faux pas that Trump made, you thought, no way. And in fact, it's what Comey tries to justify as to why he came out and, you know, called for an investigation of Hillary just days before the election, because they all felt that she was invincible with all of what Trump had done up to date. But, you know, it's a really crazy time we live in. And I think that really and truly, we really should start thinking about voting without fear. You know, we have to vote what we want for ourselves, our children, our grandchildren, and future generations.
When we lose our fear, they lose their power.
Exactly.
Well, it's been great talking to you today. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
It's been a pleasure.
You know, if people want to reach out to us, do you have your email address available? If not, I can include it in the show notes.
I
believe it's fenichel4congress@yahoo.com.
It is.
And you can reach out to us on Facebook. I personally am responding to most of the Facebook messages, so it's another.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you.
And thank you guys so much for listening today. We really appreciate our listeners here at New Jersey Revolution Radio, and we need your help. I know we ask this all the time, but even just the smallest contribution of $5 a month can really go a long way towards helping us keep doing this, bringing you the interviews with people you're not going to see interviews from on the mainstream media, hearing about activists to inspire you, or just things that I see personally that interest me that I want to bring to you. Like we just had our interview with the author of Stranger in the Woods. All kinds of these things, and we need your help to do it. For $10 a month, we'll personally thank you on the air. Brian will write your name on the whiteboard that you helped him buy. All kinds of stuff. So please help us out. Keep us going. Keep us on the air. We appreciate you here. The future is yours to create. Go out and create it.